Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
And here in 2023, we have a lot of people that I have no doubt love Jesus. But I seriously doubt if they fear God. Because if you feared God, you wouldn't be shacking up and sleeping around. If you feared God, you wouldn't be smoking up on Friday and worshiping on Sunday. If you feared God, you wouldn't be gossiping and running your mouth about everybody else and all of their business and then trying to pray and worship with the same mouth. It's not a chance of do you love Jesus. I know you love Jesus. That's why you're here on a Sunday morning. But do we fear God? Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I know you can love him, but do you fear him enough to walk in wisdom and say, not going to do that, not going to go there, not going to say that, not going to spend time with them. So check this out. I can tell whether you fear God by how you run your race. I can tell if you fear God by how you run your race. We all love God. That's why we showed up to the track. Come on. We all love God. That's why we showed up to the stadium. That's why we go practice a little. We open up the Bible. We've got our daily devotional. It's all good. I know we love him. Do we fear him? And fear him is not like, ooh, I'm scared. Fear is like, I am in awe and in reverence and respect the presence of God that literally saved me, but now needs to change me from the inside out. So run like you're really going for the prize. Run like you're really going for the prize. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. Those dudes tonight on the line, some of them are 6'7", 360 pounds, and they're running incredible 40-yard dash times. They could run down a lot of major high school athletes, and they're these big, strong. Why? Because they're disciplined. Why you and I are watching Netflix, they're in the gym training. Their job, why you and I are working our 9-to-5 job, their 9-to-5 job is to take care of their bodies, to practice, to rehearse, to get all of their skills down. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. Strict training not only means how disciplined you are, but how diligent you are in your discipline. How many of you have, how many of you have started eating right and then failed? How many of you have started working out and then failed? You know my problem with working out, can this be a confession session? Is I go in there and I lift weights and I eat a couple salads and I go on all water and at the end of the first day I step on the scale and I'm like, what's the deal? I look in the mirror and I'm like, I thought all this was going to go. Remember, this didn't show up overnight. I'm preaching to myself now. I don't care how disciplined you can be. I need to know how diligent you can be in the discipline. I know you read 21 days of devotions and prayed for 21 days of fasting, and I applaud that. But what about the other 50 days that have already passed? What about those that, I know you loved your wife the day you said I do, but what about the rest of your life? I know you can be disciplined for a season, but we need diligence in the discipline. Discipline will get you on the track and might keep you on the track, but diligence is what's going to help you win your race. Don't quit now. Somebody say, don't quit now. Turn to somebody else and tell them, don't stop. Tell them, put some diligence in your discipline. That's good. That one's not even in my notes. That's a God thought right in the middle of all this. Verse 26. Actually, let's go back up to verse 25. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Should Jesus tarry? And if the Armageddon is anything like these movies we see, the Lombardi trophy that is so desired today will be meaningless in a few years. You know, there's two or three things that could happen today that would make that trophy useless tomorrow. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but the race we run, the fight we fight, church, is to get a crown that will last forever. Verse 26, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Here's the thing. A lot of us have discipline. A lot of us are diligent in that discipline. We're just on the wrong track. See, the fact that you can stay in the shape that you're in and go to the gym 2 times a day, 6 days a week, I'm impressed. That's a level of discipline I don't have yet. That's a level of diligence I don't have yet. However, why put all of that work into this body, which is not going to last? And then you say it's hard to read your Bible for more than 5 minutes, that it's hard to show up to Sunday and Wednesday church. Hold on a second. We see you posting at the gym every day. We see you at cheerleading practice every night. We see you at volleyball practice every night. Why is it that you can go to the lake every other weekend and you can invest in a $30,000 bass boat, which I have no problem with? But the problem is we can't pick and choose what we're going to be disciplined in and diligent to. I just ask that the most disciplined and diligent thing you have in your life be Jesus Christ. And if it's not Jesus Christ, at least match that level of discipline and diligence in other areas to Jesus. Make sure it matches him. We do strict training daily. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Meaning, if we're going to run aimless, it means we're not focused on the finish line. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 says that their face was set like a flint towards Jerusalem. Flint is a rock. It is unchangeable. I'm running my race and you cannot distract me. I'm running my race and you cannot make me turn around. I'm running my race and I'm not going to quit. I love in the building of the wall, and I got a whole series I want to do on this, but on the building of the wall, there was detractors saying, hey, come down. And the builder said, I can't waste time talking to you. I've got to keep building my wall. I can't waste my time talking to people in the stands when I'm running my race. I cannot spend time talking to people that are trying to tell me how to run my race when I'm running my race. I really am not going to listen to the people standing on the track that have already quit their race and tell me how to run my race. Jesus said it like this in Luke 9, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. If you are going to run the race God has called you to, if you are going to finish the race God has put you in, you need to break off the rearview mirror in your life, no more looking back, and press on straight ahead. Got three more. Said, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I believe this is going to minister to someone. Give me 2 more minutes. That means no wasted movement. I see a lot of wasted movement in church today. I see a lot of big waves, but then those waves subside. Big moments. Listen, I love big events. I'm looking forward to Manpower Surge Weekend. I like the women's conference. I love camp. I love all of these great tent pole events for people. But I'm going to tell you what's greater than the women's conference and the men's retreat is every Sunday in the house of God, every day running my race, talking with God. I'm here to tell you, I don't want a lot of wasted movement. I didn't play football, but I watched enough to know that those running backs don't do very good when they run east to west. They're taught to run north and south, run forward. It takes just as much effort to move to the side as it does forward. So I'm going to encourage somebody. A lot of 2022 was wasted with movement that had no direction and no focus. Can I encourage you? If you're going to pray, pray prayers of faith. If you're going to praise, get your mind on God. If you're going to worship, make sure it's anointed worship. If you're going to open your mouth and testify, make sure you're ready to say what God wants you to say. See, one of the worst things, that's what my dad used to always tell me. He said, you better be ready in season, instant in season and out of season. He said, you better be ready if someone ever hands you a mic. He said, you go to a conference with the greatest preacher on the planet. You better in your mind be thinking, if that preacher doesn't show up, they're going to need a preacher. And I got something to say today. And I've lived that. You put me within five feet of a microphone. I've already got the next 45 minutes planned. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to go. You show me, you point me a direction, I'm going to go. You give me an opportunity, I'm going to take it. No wasted movement. Say, why don't we have church for 4.5 hours anymore? We can do that if the Spirit moves. But I'm not going to keep 1,000 people on Sunday watching someone herk and jerk in the corner while they're getting the Holy Ghost. Listen, we can go to Luby's. You can still get the Holy Ghost over here. 1,000 of us don't need to watch you. We can lay hands on you. We can celebrate you. But listen, if the entire room's receiving, we'll go till 10 o'clock tonight, Super Bowl or no Super Bowl. There's a great revival happening in Asbury College right now. I think it's just entered its 105th hour at the end of a Bible school chapel service. An hour and a half it was supposed to last. At the end of the hour and a half, the Holy Spirit fell in there. They just entered their 100th hour. People have now been traveling from around the world to get to that building. Thousands have been saved. Documented miracles. I'm here to tell you, if that's the race God puts me in, I'm going to run that race. But if we end service today at 12:30, I'm going to witness to the person at Valero, at Chester's Hamburgers, at Pizza Hut later on tonight. That's my job. And if God has called me to do it, there's not going to be any wasted movement. On purpose, for purpose, with purpose. Stand on your feet. Galatians 5:24 leads us back to the verse 27. He turns it. Paul turns it here and he says this. He says, I strike a blow to my body. Some of us need to quit hitting them. We're hitting out, and God said, no, 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 get your body under subjection. Said, you're fighting them, and they're running their race. You can't fight them and run your race. He said, I strike a blow to my body, and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, come on, church, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Crucify your flesh, church. Crucify your flesh. God delivered you from that substance. You got to crucify your flesh every day. I grew up in the country. All my country bumpkin rowdy friends. I grew up, got addicted to chewing tobacco. I used to chew that stuff all the time. Copenhagen Skull, it don't matter. Whatever. I chew that stuff. I got so addicted to chewing that stuff that I could chew it in church. Didn't have to spit. I just swallow it. That's an addiction, y'all. Smoked a lot of cigarettes. Addicted to tobacco. Addicted to nicotine. I'm going to tell you, that was 23 years ago when Jesus delivered me. That's a good place to say amen. If I walk into Valero today and I'm paying for my gas and I look up and I see a can of Copenhagen, my mouth starts watering. 23 years later, haven't had a chew, haven't had a pinch since then. But every time I go in there, crucify my flesh. I have a family member that knows my testimony that still chews. Every time I get in their truck, you want a pinch? Come on, bruh. But I have to say, no. Crucify my flesh. I remember I got in a truck with one of my buddies a year after high school, after God had flipped my life upside down. He said, you want a pinch? He handed it to me. I unrolled the window. I just chunked it. He said, hey, man. I said, bro, I can't be in here with that. So you got to choose that or me. That was the last time I drove with him, so I guess he chose that. If you're addicted to pornography, every day you've got to crucify your flesh. It's robbing your marriage. It's robbing your future. It's robbing your purpose. Pornography is a symptom of a very deep matter that God needs to deliver you from. If you're addicted to religion, you got to crucify your flesh. It's not my works. It is my faith and by the grace of God that I am saved. Crucify your flesh. And one more. Actually, let me read Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But he said, I make my body a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified of the prize. Church, we must, if you're taking notes, this is the last one. We got to play by the rules. And men of God and women of God, we don't make the rules. We just teach them. The Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. There are some gray areas that you're going to have to talk to God and let His Holy Spirit convict and lead you in. But there are some parameters that God has placed on believers' lives. And some of us are living too close to the edge. We're going to have to wake up every day and say, God, keep me in the middle of your will. Not off to the side, not where I can cross over, not where I can change my mind, not where I can dabble in this. And can I just go ahead and say this because it's been on my heart and my mind. There is no such thing as living a life of faith and checking your horoscope. Someone asked me the other day what my sign is. I'm 41 years old. I still don't know what my sign is. Because you know what? When I found out that cancer was one of the signs of the zodiac, I was like, heaven no for me. I don't want none of that mess in my life. The stars don't rule my life. Jesus does. Let me handle one more before we open the altars. Quit praying and burning sage. Both of those cannot happen in the same place. We got a lot of new believers. Quit doing it. Here's another one. Quit talking about the devil and his possession and his oppression all the time. Start studying Jesus like you study the occult. Start reaching to Jesus like you're one. It needs to be said, church, we got a lot of new believers. You cannot mix the two. You cannot mix the two. But I wonder if there's somebody that's running their race today that you feel fatigued. I wonder if there's somebody running their race that you've been concentrated or preoccupied with someone else's race or with what is going on in the world. Can I tell you something? The president and who sits in the Oval Office doesn't affect my race. I'm running hard every day, no matter who or what. Praise God. If you need some help today running your race, if you feel awakened that, hey, there is no participation trophies, you're going to have to finish your race to see the face of God. I need you to step out of your seat, and I need you to join me in this altar. I've taken enough time, but I believe there's a dozen, two dozen people that you say, man, preacher, what you've been saying, it's been pricking my heart. The Spirit of God has opened up some things in my life, in my spirit today. My mind is being refreshed. It's being made new. Praise God, man of God. Praise God, woman of God. James, praise God. Here they come. Here they come. Families coming. Kids coming with parents. God bless you. I know these 10 or 12 are not the only ones. God bless you. I'm so proud of this young lady. Jalen's been serving, been loving on all of our kids next door. It's awesome to see God using young people to do great things. But here she's saying, God. And she might not even know what she's saying in this moment. She just felt compelled that God's working on her race and working on her faith. But what I see is God, if I'm gonna encourage other people in how they run their race, if I'm going to be pouring into these kids, God, I want my heart to be directed towards you. I want my focus not broken. I want my focus on you. One of our brand new families, I love this family. They're in this house today, in this altar today, not saying I don't know Jesus, saying, Jesus, there's some things that we want to do better in our lives. And I'm here to tell you, if I wouldn't hold the microphone, I'd be standing next to these men and women in this altar because there's a race that needs finishing, and you are the man, you are the woman for the job. The Spirit of God has drawn you to this altar, and now the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, that breaks distraction. I'm gonna ask our prayer team to get ready, our leadership team, our pastoral and prayer team. You can go ahead and start laying hands. I want to take 30 more seconds to encourage somebody in the house that doesn't know Jesus. It's Super Sunday, more important than the Super Bowl. It's where you're going to spend eternity. In heaven with Jesus or in hell without Him? As blunt as I can say, without Jesus, there is no heaven. There is no eternity with Him. You say, well, man, I've never heard that before. You've just been in the wrong stadium. But you showed up today and God is talking to you. It's time for your yes. I'm talking to a young man, young woman in your 20s. Mom and dad said yes, but you never said yes. I'm talking to a spouse today that you're here because your significant other loves God and receives salvation, but you're just along for the ride. They said yes, but we're here for your yes today. And then finally, in my heart, I believe there's somebody in here that you think you've done too much craziness to get saved. You wild out. You're addicted. You're broken. Something happened to you when you were 8 years old that you didn't deserve. And you're saying, God wouldn't want me. Oh, God has already proved he wants you. He died for you. And so for those of you that may be questioning, does God love you? Yes, he does. He loves you so much that he came in the form of Jesus Christ to die on a cross. If that's you, we're ready. Step out of your seat and then let one of our team know, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive Jesus in my life. If that is you, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. If you want healing, this is your moment. Deliverance, this is your moment. For those of you standing at your seat, if you'll just stretch your hand forward for the next 2 minutes and help us pray. Pray the prayer of faith. Pray the prayer of agreement. Just say, God, help them run their race. Go, Lord, give them focus. Lord, give them the discipline and the diligence to run, to work towards the finish line, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. Lord, I'm believing miracles are being done in this altar. I'm believing hearts are being transformed.